ஷன்னாமித்ரஷ்யம்மருணஷன்னாபவத்வர்யபான் ஷன்னயிந்த்ருவபிருஹஸ்பதி ஷன்னோவிஷ்ணுருருக்ரம நமோபிரம்மணே நமஸ்தேவாயோ த்வமேவபிரத்யக்ஷம்ப்ரஹ்மாசி த்வமேவபிரத்யக்ஷம்ப்ரஹ்மவதிஷ்யாமி ரிதம்வதிஷ்யாமி சத்யம்வதிஷ்யாமி தன்மாமவது தத்பக்தாரமவது அவது மாம் அவது பக்தாரம். ஓம் சாந்தி சாந்தி சாந்தி. ராஜீவ சமாரம்பாம் சங்கராச்சார்ய மத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சார்ய பர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம். ஸ்தாபகாய தர்மசேன் சர்வதர்ம ஸ்வரூபிணே அவதார பரிஷ்டாய ராமகிருஷ்ணாய தே நமாம். பக்தவாத்சல்யஜனதே பரமானந்த ரூபிணா அஸ்மதாச்சார்ய ராஜஸ்ய பிரபன்னோஸ்ய பதாம்புஜம் சர்வமங்கலமாங்கல்யே சிவே சர்வ அர்த்த சாதியே சரண்யே த்ரிம்பகே கௌரி நாராயணி நமோஸ்துதே. சரணாகத தீனார்த்தன் பரித்ராணபராயணே சர்வசாத்தி ஹரே தேவி நாராயணி நமோஸ்துதே. கிருஷ்ணாய வாசுதேவாய ஹரே பரமாத்மனே பிரணதக்லேசனாச்சாரிய கோவிந்தாய நமோ நமஹம். ஆபதாபகர்த்தாரம் தாதாரம் சர்வசம்பதாம் லோகாபிராமம் ஸ்ரீராமம் பூயோ பூயோ நமாம்யஹம். We were in the process of churning the milky ocean in order to get the nectar, the divine nectar, which is also called as ambrosia. We call it amrit. So that the gods will not die in white battle anymore. Whereas they have partaken a little of the amrit, they'll be immortal to a large extent, in this sense, up to the pralaya. Then the gods will be different. There will be Varuna, but not the same Varuna. Our Varuna is opposed, Indra is opposed. So these posts will be filled up by new candidates. And see, the meditation process is here. When they are started churning the ocean, what is the first thing which comes? The first thing which came out of it was a very severe poison. You may call it a poison gas, just as it happened in Gwalior some years back. In the same way, it is also called Halahala Visha or Kalakuta Visha. And it came as a gas because it is a great serpent. And when it is being, due to the friction of churning it from its mouth, that huge poison gas came up. It began to spread all through the world, and the people began to die in thousands, including the gods. The gods ran. Lord Shiva was available there. So they went to Lord Shiva and bowed him and said, "Shiva, now you will have to save us." What he did? With his hand, he just like a ball, he somehow withdrew the entire poison into his hand and he ate it. He ate it, but he didn't allow it to go inside his stomach. Inside the stomach of the Lord, there are so many worlds and there are so many inhabitants. They will also die. So he just kept it in his throat. So he was called Nilakanta. Because in his throat, that poison, he just looked like something bluish like. So he was called Nilakanta. Now this shows the meditation process, that when we try to meditate, don't think that immediately you will get God or godly thoughts. Many would have experienced it. Dirty thoughts would come up, which you never thought you ever had it even. From somewhere, from the recess of your subconscious mind, all the dirty thoughts which were lying embedded, you may not have taken it consciously, it might have been embedded in you unconsciously, and they will all come. It is just like when you are trying to clean up the gutter which has not been cleaned for 20 years, and when they just take the layers down and push it up, what you get will be one of the greatest of things which you might have never imagined even. It will be a very, very thoroughly a bad smell which you cannot bear it even. In the same way, all these bad thoughts have to get out. How will they get out? So that is the way when in the meditation, when all other thoughts leave you, then these thoughts first they leave you. They leave you first. All the bad thoughts which are lying there, which you are not even aware that you are having it, and they all leave you. And not only that, the mind does not remain stable. This is a 3000 old year question which Arjuna asks Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. Manas chanchalam sthiram, the mind is always moving here and there. It doesn't remain at one place. Chanchalam, chanchal, it moves, and asthir, it is not permanent in one place. So what will I do? The mind does not get glued to the Lord and it goes to various thoughts. What shall I do? There are only two words which Krishna prescribes as the remedy. Abhyasenati Kaunteya Vairagyenati Garikyate. Well, you will have to repeat your prayers, your mantras, you have to go on. It cannot be done in one day, and nor can you say, oh, I have been doing it for 2 years, nothing happens, still my mind is running. It will run, because it has been accustomed to run for 20 lakhs of janmas and expected to go away within 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. Not at all. Unless the Lord's grace comes, it might take births and births before they could be completely rooted out, uprooted. And so, number one is practice. So don't lose your heart. You go on doing it again and again, again and again, again and again. Let them go. And the second is vairagya, dispassion with all the worldly objects. The music does not hold any fascination for me. And sex does not hold any fascination for me. And delicious items to be eaten, they hold no fascination for me. Thus, to live off all objects of the world and to love the Lord alone, and tell Him, Lord, I want You. I want nothing else, Lord. I don't even want my mukti. I want You. So that sort of absolute love should be there. See, when you start on this path, the first thing is to set your goal. Many of us do not have the goal at all. One gentleman came to me within the last 2 months, I think I was the first one. He said, "What are you doing?" "I am trying to go on the inner journey." "Oh, very good." He said, "Journey means it's a yatra. Then where do you go?" "Where? I don't know." I said, "What do you mean by journey? Either you go to Bombay or go to Calcutta." He said, "I am simply going on a journey." The fellow doesn't know where he is to go. And he says, "I am going on a journey." He has read it in some books. That's all. Then I said, "That's right. First, determine your goal." "My goal is to get the Lord. I have to get the Lord. And I want nothing else. This will be my only goal. And I will not dilute it in between, saying, I want a good guru. I want a good place to meditate." Not at all. Wherever you are, in whatever situation you are, you try to get the Lord. Love Him. To love the Lord, you can do it at any time. Awake, asleep, when you are lying down, when you are sitting, when you are going for your bath, when you are eating. So internally, you go on telling, "Oh Lord, when will I get your attention? When will I have your vision?" So at all times, you hug Him like a bear. Don't leave Him at all. So the first thing is to fix the goal. The second thing is to love Him. And automatically the faith comes. So wherever you have faith, that need not be love. I have faith in my servant. I send 1 lakh of rupees every day to the bank through him. I got a faith. But I don't love him. But where there is love, you have 100% faith. There is a newly married samurai warrior from Japan. That's a particular caste. He was going along with his newly wed wife in a boat. Suddenly, when the boat was in the mid-ocean, he took out his sword and with a swag, he brought it to cut the throat of his wife. It came very near her throat and she was laughing all through. Even when it came just near the throat, she was really laughing. She stopped it. And he said, "Were you not afraid? Hey, you are my husband. I love you. Why should I be afraid? I know you also equally love me. So you won't do any harm. So I was not afraid." So where there is love, there is 100% faith. And then you sit in meditation. The main point in meditation is to withdraw the mind from the world. As at present, you are unable to see the Lord, even though He is everywhere. Why? Because your mind is full of the world. The world means your wife, your son, your parents, your money, your investments, and your office. You are worried about your office work. So, the entire thing is full of world. You just keep them at bay. You eliminate all thoughts of the world. Then where are you? There are only two places. Either you are with the world or you are with the Lord. If the world is eliminated and removed, you are in the lap of the Lord. Then you have to move to the center. That's all. That's all there is left. And that is meditation. And that is done in various ways. How to remove the world? You can't take it out from your mind and drop it in the ocean. So there are various ways. One of the ways is to take the name of the Lord, or to continuously pray to Him, or continuously do the mantra given by the Guru. when you are going on doing the mantra, say Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya, Om Namah Shivaya. You do it for 20 years, 30 years. Then what happens is, one day the mantra disappears. You started Om Namah Shivaya. In between, Om Namah Shivaya disappeared. You never thought of it at all. The thought went away. Along with it, you also went away. You also disappeared. Neither you are there, nor your mantra is there. Then, who is left? I am not there, the mantra is there. When you are asleep, who is there? Are you there? Yes, Mr. Sinjai Singh, you are not there. I am not there. So, then what happens? Am I dead? Not at all. I am not alive as an individual. I am alive the totality, as the universal totality, whom you may call it as God, whom you may call it as Brahman, whom you can call as Self. He alone is there. In the same way, because all the thoughts have gone. When all the thoughts have gone, He alone is left. Anyway, these are the process of meditation, just I touched it. Now the Lord Shiva has rid them of the menace of the most intense poison. And now, when the poison is over, you are in God's lab, initially what does God give you? He doesn't give you His claims. He gives you all the siddhis, all the mystic powers. You will be sitting and thinking, there is no chance. Mr. Dr. Tribhuvan is in Delhi. I am just thinking of him. Within 5 minutes he comes and knocks at my door. So the moment you think of somebody, he presents himself. Several times it has happened with Raman Maharshi. Somebody will say, sir, this para, where is it in this book? He will just take the book, open it, it will come on that very page where the thing is there. It happened invariably. Never he failed. So all some siddhis only. And the other siddhis, to know what you are thinking. So when people come here, I know what he is thinking. So I tell, oh, you have come for this purpose. How do you know? So we see, how I know. So, you would like to demonstrate it, then you will think, he's a great Swamiji. The one who knows about God, who lives with God, he is not a great Swamiji at all. In the eyes of the world, they want somebody who can cure their grandfather, who can cure their son of his various physical ailments, who by his look can endow him with all riches and all promotions. I want such a guru. What is the guru who says, I am giving you God sometime later? No, no. So, people are extremely fascinated by all these mystic powers only. The mystic powers take you away from your goal. They take you off the track. Because you forget about the Lord. I have written somewhere. You don't think of the gifts. You always think of the gift giver. See, in my 8th standard, 7th standard, I was doing very badly. So my father said, hey, this year you come in the 5 ranks, first 5 ranks, I will get you a watch. Oh, father, I come within the five ranks. Yes, give me a watch. The next year again, I am going down in the first examination, sir. Hey, why are you not reading? I am reading, papa, but I don't know how. They are not giving marks. I am reading, I am writing very well, but they are not giving marks. Then he said, look here, if you come within the five ranks this year, I will get you a bicycle. Ah, very good. These days a car is required. Nobody wants a bicycle. So, now he goes on giving lift. How long? Do you give to him in his BA or BSc? Do you give him in his IIT? So, after some time, you cease to give gifts. But his eyes have now turned to the gift giver. Oh, my papa is very nice. Damn the gifts. He is so kind. He is so compassionate to make me come up. What are all the means he has adopted? Now, your eyes have turned from the gift to the gift giver. What all has not the God given you? The God has given you an environment. The God has given you an education. The God has given you nice parents. And the God has given you a nice job. And you are getting a fat amount of salary. What else do you want? And are we thankful to him? Are we thinking of him? So, damn the gifts. We don't bother about the gifts. Your eyes should turn to the gift giver. Then, so similar to those siddhis here, what happened was, the Amrita does not come first. What came was that first came Kamadhenu. Kamadhenu was not a cow giving 100 shares or 200 shares of milk. No. It was a divine cow who can grant whatever you wanted. You just ask Kamadhenu, give me a nice bungalow. You will get a bungalow in the morning. When you get up, you will find yourself in a bungalow and not in a kutia and not in a small cottage. And all the maharishis said, it is very much required because you are daily preparing ghee and then offering in the fire sacrifices. We require a lot, we will take the Kamadhenu. Okay? Then the next one is Uchaisravas. Yeah, a beautiful horse, absolutely white. When it came out, Mahabali, the king of the demons, expressed their wish, I would like to have this. So the Lord, by Ishara, by signs, he indicated, give it to him. So they all conceded. Then now, a big elephant came with four tusks, all white. The entire elephant was white in color. Then Indra said, this is mine. He took that Airavat, the elephant. And now, a beautiful jump. In Hindi, we call it Padmarag. I don't know what it's called in English. It is blue. Padmarag. I think so. It's a light blue, azure blue, they call it. Kausubha Mani. So, that Kausubha is the name of a big gem which Lord is wearing. How does he wear? He is not tying it in a chain and wearing it. Because you cannot tie anything in Lord's body. The Lord has come to liberate and not to put knots. No knot can stand in his body. So the Kausubha comes and just attaches itself to the, to the chest of the Lord. And then Lord Vishnu tells, this is mine. It is the best. And then the Parijata tree came. Parijata tree is the name of Kalpataru. Kalpatru is again another wish-fulfilling tree, as it is called. Whatever you want, you stand underneath it and ask, you will get it. Ramakrishna Paramahamsa has told you nicely. So don't ask for Parijata alone, because if the Parijata is there, Kalpataru, familiar house you are asking, oh Kalpataru, give me a good house at Bombay, then don't. You will have to go up to that tree, stand under it, and then ask the tree. So similarly, you have to go to a great distance towards the Lord, and then you ask it, you will get it. That is why we just say, Lord, save my son, save my everybody. There is a small child. It was daily praying at night before going to bed. Oh Lord, save my father, he is bringing all the money. Save my mother, he is preparing very nice dishes for me. Save my brother, he entertains me, he takes me out for a walk. And save my little sister. Yes, she is very nice to play with. Last but not least, please look after yourself. If you are lost, we are all lost. That is the prayer of that child. Then, after Parijata, Indra said, it will be kept in my gardens. Then the divine nymphs, all more beautiful than the one. Now, there is equally beautiful. They were called Apsara trees. We call them the divine nymphs. They all came and Indra told, well, I have got a kingdom, none of you have got a kingdom, so I will keep them. So all these items came, and at last, tadascha virabhu sakshati shri rava bhagavat param ranjayanti disakantyam vidyut saudamini yatha. Then Lakshmi's pradurbhava, Lakshmi comes up from the ocean. That is why she is called the Samudra Kanya. She is the daughter of the ocean. And she comes and she is so glowing. Just Lakshmi also means Shobha. That is the glow, the glory of the face, glowing, shining, the shine. She shines so much that all the four directions are filled with light. She is full of light. And she came with a mala in her hand, a garland. She said, now I like to choose husband among all these people. Whom should I choose? The first, Durvas Maharshi, was there. Even though he was old, his body was black. So he was just doing like this. She said, no, I can't accept him. Nunantapo, yasya namantru nirjayo. Yes, he's a man who has done a lot of penance, but he has not conquered his anger. So we don't know. One day in his anger, he will say, talak, talak, and he will send me out. So I don't want it. Then, jnanam kuchit tachana sangavarjitam. Shukracharya is there and Brahaspati is there. One is the guru of the devatas and another is the guru for the demons. He said, yes, they got jnana. But they keep bad company. That company is not good. And secondly, even if it is good, one should not keep such company. You have to leave all the company. See, first you start with holy company, and the holy company also should be left. Question Mahan, Tasena Kama Nirjayam. There is one who is very great, he is ancient, that is the creator, the Lord Brahma. But he has not won over his desires. He created one Sandhya, a beautiful lady with the junction between morning and noon and evening. That's called Sandhya Kala. The moment he created, he fell in love with her. Then all his sons who were standing there, Marichi, Pulaha, Pulastya, Agastya, all his sons, they looked at him with horror. Papa, what are you doing? Then he got ashamed. So he has not won over his temptations. Dharma kochit tatra na bhuta sahurdam. Lord Yama is standing, twirling his mustache. Yes, he is full of dharma. He goes according to the law. But he is not friendly to all the beings. He comes and takes away their life. So I don't want him. Tyaga kochit tatra na mukti karanam. Then there is some Shibi. He is prepared to give his flesh to a vulture, because the vulture was coming after a pigeon. The pigeon took shelter under him. So he said, please don't touch the pigeon. Whatever flesh you want, I will give. You take it. I'll cut it and put it before. So he had renunciation. He was prepared to renounce a part of his body, but not for mukti, for ordinary things. I don't want it. Kachichirayur nahishila mangalam. There is one who lives for a long time, but that fellow has no character. There is Indra. Indra is standing. Then Chandra is there. He has got character, but nobody knows. Every day he becomes less and less, and one day he may die. So I don't want him. I don't know about his age, how long he will live. Then she says, both are there, the Shiva, but he doesn't wear good things. He is always in the smashan, always amangal, always things which do not redound to the good of people. No, I don't want it. So where is it? There is nobody here who we can choose. At that time, Lord Vishnu was standing at one end, near the ocean, and he was looking at the waves. He was not at all concerned with Lakshmi or anybody. Lakshmi goes to him and puts the garland on him. I want this man. At least he won't look at others. So that's how she calculates. So this is what happened. And then then Dhanvantri Maharaj Savaye Bhagavata Sakshatvi Vishnu Hom Cham Sambhavam Dhanvantri Dikhyataham Ayurveda Duki Ijabhaki. The Amsha of Lord Vishnu, Dhanvantri Maharaj, who is the god of all the doctors, he comes out of the ocean, carrying a kalash full of amrit. He brings it. And the moment it came, all the demons, they had physical health. I mean, physically they were quite strong. They went and they took it. See, just like the football, just like the basketball, they just took it away. So, devatas couldn't do anything. After having got it, these people are not able to take it. So, Lord Vishnu again came to help them. He took the form of a most beautiful lady. And when he came, all the demons were just fell for her. They all went to her. "Oh lady, we don't know where from you have come, but we all love you. In order as a proof, come on, have this pot of amrit. You do what you like. You just distribute it to us and the devatas. We are all here." And she was looking at them, smiling at them, batting her eyelids at them. And then she said, "Look here, I am not a very good lady. So as such, I may give more to those people whom I like. So I may not be just in my distribution. Do you mind?" "No, no, we don't mind." All of them came under the maya of the Lord. So they couldn't say anything else. Then she made them all sit. And so like that, they all took the amrit. And when the amrit was over, she suddenly disappeared from that mist. Then those people woke up. They said, "My Lord, all these devatas have drunk the entire amrit." Then they began to fight. They began to fight these gods, and the gods were able to drive them out. So all these things happened. And thus Indra got the victory, and Bali Chakravarti went running away along with his people. Now we come to the story of Bali and Vamana. At that time, as I told, Bali was the head of the asuras. Bali had a lot of strength. He was a big king. Almost the entire world was in his hand. And so he was doing a fire sacrifice, yajna, wherein he announced, "Let whoever who wants anything, let him come here. They may ask for anything, it will be given to them. There is no limit. You ask for anything, I will be able to give it to you." And here, it so happened that Bali Chakravarti, again he invaded the heavens, the Swarga, and drove away Indra. Indra had to run, and he went into hiding. And all these demons, they occupied the heavens. Aditi was the mother of all the devatas, while Diti was the mother for all the demons. Now this turn is of Aditi. She comes running to her husband Kachapa, who is a great Maharshi, who has done a lot of penance. She comes to him and says, "Are you not a father? Are you not seeing? Indra has run away. The entire heavens is now being occupied by the demons. Please do something. Give me a son who will be able to defeat Bali Chakravarti." "Yes, but you will have to do a vrat called Payo Vrat. That is having only milk and nothing else. Thus, you have to be there for some time, say for a few months or a year maximum. And then the Lord will bless you with a child." And the same thing happened. She was doing the payavrata completely. And it so happened that she suddenly saw the Lord before her. The Lord said, "I am going to come into your womb as your son, and immediately I will grow up. I will become a small brahmachari and I will go and defeat Mahabali. Don't worry, And he went into the womb of Aditi, and soon enough the child was born. The moment it was born, it began to grow up to a small brahmachari. A brahmachari means it has to wear the sacred thread. So Brahma himself came and did that fire sacrifice and gave that sacred thread. Then everybody brought some gift or other. Saraswati brought a tulsi mala, and Brahmaji brought an asana to sit. So like that. Then he starts. He says, I understand that Bali is doing a big sacrifice where he gives a lot. So I am going there. He's shining like anything. He's glowing. And he's glowing as if he's the greatest of Maharishis, even though he's small. The moment he reaches that place, the Yagyashala, where the fire sacrifice is being done, all the Ritviks, all the priests, they're all much senior to him. They're all sitting there. And Shukracharya himself is sitting there. The moment they saw, they were all overcome by his shine and glow, by his light. All of them get up to greet him, even though they were so senior to him. They all get up. Pravishtam mitchate bhrigavam sashishyaste sahagnivim. How does he enter? Chatram sadandam sajalam kamandalam vecha vibradhayame dhavatam. He is doing that hot sacrifice. There he goes. He has got a jata, even though he's a small boy. Vamanam, he's still small. Maya manavakam. By Maya only he became a small boy. He's small. He's everywhere. He's the biggest of all. So he went there on the Narmada River's banks where he was doing this Ashwamedha sacrifice. On seeing him, he says, whatever you want, you take it, brahmachari. Yadyatvato vanchasi tatpati chame tomathinam viprasuta anudarkaye. Whatever you want, you take it. You want bhumi, you take enough of it. Do you want gold, take enough of it. You want a house, you take it. Fully equipped, full of all prosperity, I will give you. So that you want Graman, you want villages, I'll give you. Do you want horses? I'll give you sufficiently. Graman samardhan thuragan gajanva. Do you want chariots? Rathan? Yes, I'll give you. Rathan stavarha tamasam pratichar. You take whatever you want. And Vamana is very humble. After all, he is a brahmachari. He doesn't want much. Padani trini dekyendra sambhitani padamame tasmatato vahi mishati. I want only a little land. You know, wherever I go and sit, somebody says, this is my house. You can't do your meditation here. Get out. So, I want a small place of my own where I can sit and do my meditation. So please give me a land which I will measure. It will be exactly 3 feet by my feet. It is a small feet, Vamanas. So give me that much. That is sufficient. But he is full of pride that he is the king of all. He owns a lot of wealth. So in that pride he says, hey, what are you asking? You talk as if you are a very wise person, but you are childish in your approach. Napuman mahapavrijyam bhuyojyasitamarhati. Look here, a man has once come and taken from me. He should never more ask for anything from anybody else in his life. So take so much, that which will be sufficient for your lifetime. Here, in Bali Chakravarti, there are two or three things we learn. That whenever we give a word, at whatever cost, we may lose our life, we may lose everything we possess, but we have to fulfill the promise. Even the small things. Ramakrishna Paramahamsa told one of his shishyas one day, "Hey, I am coming to your house today." But later on he forgot about it. Night at 10 o'clock he remembered. The house was 3 kilometers off. Alone he went. The outside gate was open. He went inside. The inner gate was closed. Night. 10 o'clock he is going to keep it open. He went up to that, went then to the door, and he said, "My promise is kept. I have come, I have come." And he came back. That's all. His promise has been kept. So, one is Satya. That is, Satya means when once the word is given, he has to keep it, otherwise it becomes Asatya. But one need not resort to any crookedness or lie. One can tell the truth and still escape. I adopted it also. This story goes like this. After the Mahabharata war, these people, I don't know if they have told the story already, all the Pandavas said, "Hey, we have been tired after these 18 days of war. Tomorrow, let Draupadi remind you and look after the children. And we are not going to take any weapons in our hand. All we throw here, with empty hand, with some sandwiches, let us go for a picnic. We will go for a long distance." So morning 6 o'clock, with some sandwiches in their hand, they started along with Krishna. They are walking, after all, they can walk with long strides. So they covered so many kilometers. By 10 o'clock, they had covered more than 100 kilometers. They don't have any weapons in their hand. At that time, one hunter came and whispered something in the ears of Lord Krishna and went away. Krishna's forehead showed some lines of anxiety, like this. He was knitting his brow, as if he was in some anxious moment. Then Arjuna asked him, "What is it that perturbs you, Krishna?" "Nothing that relates to me. They all relate to you people. Ashwatthama, to take vengeance on you people, we have forgotten him. He is coming fully equipped with all his divine weapons in a chariot. He is barely half an hour distance away. Within half an hour he will reach. And you people have not brought any weapons. How are you going to save yourself? Impossible. So I am worried about you all." Then Krishna saw just nearby, there is a small cottage of Maharishi Durvasa. Maharishi was famous for his anger. We do not know when he will burst into anger. He was always given to outbursts of anger. Nobody knows when. He went to him, but Durvasa knew he was God himself. He got up and greeted, "Om Namo Vasudevaya. Please tell me, how can I serve you?" "Durvas, I want these Pandavas to hide here." "What are you talking? Are you joking? There is only empty walls. I don't have anything. I don't have a cot. I don't have an almirah. Where will I hide them?" "You give a permission, I will see the rest." "Yes, I permit you. Then come along. Come out." Then she asked the Pandavas, the Bhima, come on, within 5 minutes you should make a big pit ready where you 5 people can sit. Where Durvasa was sitting, underneath that platform, you make a big pit. No time he prepared. And he asked all the Pandavas to go and sit. Sit there. And he put the carpet over it. And he put the silk cloth over it. And he put over that tiger skin. And then he told Durvasa Maharshi, now you sit over this. And Krishna was about to go. Durvasa Maharshi called Krishna, Krishna, I have never told a lie in my entire life. And I don't want to tell a lie. Ashwatthama is my friend's son. He is definite to come here and ask me whether I have seen the Pandavas. I have to tell them the truth. Yes, I never asked you to tell any lie. You tell them the truth, but you tell it in this way. He whispered something and went away. Then Ashwatthama knocked at the door. Yes, come in. The moment he opened the door, he did namaskar and he said, Bharadvaja Gotra, son of Dronacharya, my name is Ashwatthama. I bow to you again and again. This is the way in which they greet bigger people. And then, laughingly, he called him by his side. He was just patting him. Durvasa, I am very sorry. You lost your father. How is your mother? All these things he was asking. He was very happy with him. He was laughing. Suddenly, Ashwatthama put a question. Maharshi, I was tracing the footsteps of these Pandavas. They are stopping at the door of your house, your cottage. We don't see it going anywhere else. Have you got any idea where the Pandavas went? Yes, yes, I have kept them here. He got up with a lot of rage and anger. He said, yes, yes, I kept them here underneath. Come on, you take them. You dig and take them up. He said, I just asked you a question. Why are you so angry? And he went away. Yes, he told the truth. But it is very difficult to believe the truth. It is very easy to believe a lie. So he went away. The truth only he told. But he told in a particular way that you won't believe it. So he went away. So they were saved. And I used it in one way. Once I used to go to Delhi and stay with one, Kanuga. In those days I was always staying with him. He was an old man. And everybody will approach him and ask, when is Swamiji coming? When is Swamiji coming? So I wrote to him, this time I want rest in Delhi. I don't want to meet a single person. So I will come and quietly be in your house. So if anybody asks you, don't tell them about my program. He wrote a big letter. In my entire life of 80 years, I have never told a single lie. So Swamiji, I am very, very sorry. I can't tell a lie. If they ask me what is the program, I have to tell them. So I wrote to him, you tell, but you tell it in this way. When they ask you, what is the program of Swamiji? You just to tell, Ram Jane, Swamiji ka program. Ram knows what his program is. They will not ask you anything more. Ram Jane, Swamiji ka program. Don't you think, are you telling a lie? Don't you think that Ram doesn't know? Ram does know. So you are telling a truth. So you tell it. He told like that. That time nobody came. I was not disturbed. 3 days I stayed with him. So I practically utilized it. So this can be done. Then. Now, when he has promised him, yes, I will give you your 3 steps of land, your land measured by your feet, 3 steps I will give you. Then suddenly Shukracharya, his guru, was sitting there. He saw in his vision what is going to happen. Then he says, hey, Yeshavairochane Sakshat Bhagavan Vishnurabhyaya. Hey, don't be fooled. This is Vishnu himself who has come to deceive you. It is not an ordinary brahmachari. It is Lord Vishnu who has come. So, he is going to take your kingdom and give it to Indra. And you will be on the street. This is what is going to. Sarvasvam Vishnavetattva Mudhavarti Vishyate Katam. So if you give everything to him, what will you have? How will you live, Mahabali? So don't give. Because it is allowed. You can go back on your word under certain circumstances. Sthrishu Dharma Vivahechem Vrityarthe Pranasankatem Grobrahmanarthe Himsayam Na Anradam Shadjigupchadam. In these cases, our Dharma Shastra says, a lie can be told. Number one, Dharma Vivahecha. Secretly you are marrying a girl. You tell her, my father is a billionaire. His father may not be having 20 rupees per month. But it's allowed because you are to get married somehow. Or the fellow says, well, I'm an embassy. He was a clerk actually. He was a peon in our office. He had told them. And they believed him. They never came and asked. In Miratmi Vodhaya. So, it can be done. Vrityarthe. For your job, they said, yes. You should have passed at least 8 standards, then only we'll make you a peon. She said, I came from Lahore. I lost all the certificates. I am actually a graduate. Tell, for the sake of your keeping up your livelihood, you can tell a lie. Prana Sankate, when somebody is going to kill you, come on, tell me, where have you kept your keys of your tijori, of your treasury? Well, I don't know that you are coming. I kept it in the factory itself, even though he is having it here. So you can tell the lie. Go brahmanarthe himsayam. If a cow and a brahmin full of venoms, if they are to be killed or they are to be harmed, in order to prevent their harm, you can tell a lie about them. So, Nandadam Sadhyupsitam. So he told the authority also how Bali Chakravarti can go back on his word. See, the Bali was much more cultured. Satyam Bhagavata Proktam Dharmoyam Grahamedhinam. Yes. Whatever you told is correct, but this is the law for all householders. I am not a simple householder. I am a king. So I have to set an example to others. So I can't afford to tell a lie. Naham bibhimi naryati nadhanyada sukarnamati nasthana chamanan mrityoho yathavipra pralambhanati. Guruji, I am not afraid of hell. I am not afraid of an ocean of sorrows if they are given to me. Miseries, troubles, I don't mind. And I may be taken out of my kingship. I may be thrown on the road. I may become a beggar on the road. Well, I am not afraid of it. Nastana javanan mrityo. I am not afraid of death even. Yathavi praprambana. A great man of penance, I don't want to fool him. I don't want to deceive him. Whenever I say I have given a word, I have to keep it. So sorry, Guru Maharaj. Then, the Guru didn't like it, so he gave a shapa to him. What is going to come? Now, she asked his wife to give some water. This is the way in which the dana is given. When the water is poured out of his hand, he says, Dadami, I am giving you. So that means the contract is complete now. He has given you. So he has given you. That very minute when he has given, Tadvamanam rupam avardhat adbhutam Harerananthasya gunatriyatmakam. The moment was given, the one who was so small, he began to grow. He occupied all the directions, both top and bottom. The top cannot be seen. Like that, he began to grow into Trivikramavatara. He had three legs. And his one leg went so down below that all the worlds down below, the seven worlds are covered. And his another one went there up above and it covered all the worlds up. Maharloka, Jalaloka, Brahmaloka, all were covered. And at that time, in Trivikrama's hand, just like Vishnu, Chakra, Gada, everything came and devoured in his hands. And all the Maharshis and all his force, all the people who fight for him, they all came and surrounded him. Then he asked, Bali, you have failed to keep your promise. You said you will give me three steps. Now I have covered two steps. Where should I keep my third? He says, Karam ritam tanna bhavet pralambhanam padam tritiyam kurushishti me nijam. Lord, there is still a vacancy. My head, nothing is there. So you please put your the third foot on my head. That's why we call it Balidan, where you offer your own head to the Lord. That is Balidan. So he says, and then the Lord, by his will, he brings the Varuna Pasha. That Varuna himself becomes big. Rassi ko kya kehte hain? Rope. He becomes a big rope. It is a rope, it is a divine rope, you cannot see it from outside. With that, he is bound, he is at his feet, and he has kept his third foot on him. And then, Bali Chakravarti prays to him, Lord, you only blessed my grandfather, Prahlada. I am very happy, I am not at all either afraid, nor am I ashamed that I have been reduced to nil. Everything always belongs to you. when did they belong to me at all? And you only made me a trustee of this place. Tvayeva dattam padamaindra murjitam hritam tadevatya. You gave this entire kingdom to me and you have taken it back. So there is nothing. They are all yours only. And at that time, Bhagavan says, well, I am very happy. Look here, in the next Manvantara, you are going to be the next Indra. Now it's the Vyasa announced. And then he says, for the present, I am sending you down below to one of the Netherlands, which is called Sutala. It is full of wealth, infinite wealth. So, I am making you king there. Not only that, I will be myself your watchman. I will care for all your doors and I will be there. Vamana, as Vamana, he is always going round there as a watchman when Mahabali was there. Once it so happened that Ravana wanted to defeat Bali. He just came alone. He wanted to enter into the palace of Bali, down below, in the Sutala. And at one corner, he was standing with his gada. The moment he came, he said, Ravana, you can't go inside. Hey, who are you? You are not even equal to my little finger, and you are threatening me? Then, Vamana, with his little toe, he just gave him threw him out. He went and fell down some 20,000 kilometers away. That's what happened. And fortunately, no bones are broken. So he never came there. Thus the 8th skanda is over. Now we are starting with the 9th skanda. We will just to start a little. See, this 9th skanda consists of the stories of the various kings. These stories may not be fully interesting, may not have any particular value for the instructions, but still he has covered the kings of two races. The one is called the Chandravamsha, the race starting from the moon, and the other one, which is called the Suryavamsha. Krishna belongs to Chandravamsha and Rama belongs to Suryavamsha. Surya means the sun. The one, see now the Japanese king always claims that he comes from the race of the king, the race of the sun. So he belongs to Suryavamsha. So, by hearing them, what happens? This is called the Manvantarani Charitam. That is the stories of all the kings in the various Manvantaras belong to both of them. First he starts with Suryavamsha, and then after finishing it, he starts with the Chandravamsha, and then it's going to end with the birth of Krishna in the Chandravamsha. That's how it is going to. That will be in 10th skanda beginning. So this 9th skanda will give you a number of stories of so many people belonging to the both the races. Even when you hear about all those devotees as kings, we get a vibration. And that is why he has given the 9th skanda, so that by reading them and by hearing them, our mind gets purified. By hearing the stories of those devotees. The first is the son of the sun. He was Yamanu. He was known as Vaivasvata Manu. Then Shraddha Deva and all that. So in there, there is a king who wanted a son. But his wife has bribed the priest. I want a daughter. So he told the mantra for getting a daughter. When the daughter was born, the man who did the sacrifice, he got highly annoyed. He said, "What sort of a mantra these people have chanted? Are you not ashamed? I asked you for a son and you are getting me a daughter." The chief priest was not aware of this. Then he sees in his the eye of knowledge. Yes, he knew what has happened. He says, "King, I am very sorry. My other priests, they have fallen a prey. They took some bribe from their wife. And so they have given me the mantra for meeting a daughter." And the daughter was called Ila. But then the chief priest again did the same thing, and the boy was converted as Pradyumna, a king. He became a man again. And so and Sudyumna again, one day he entered into one part of a big jungle. He didn't know there is a part which is sacred for Lord Shiva. As Lord Shiva was always playing with his wife there, Parvati, he didn't want that any male should enter. So he has given a shapa or something, a sort of a curse. Whoever enters this area, any male, if he enters this area, he will become a woman forever. Pradyumna didn't know, she entered it, he found that he has become a beautiful lady. He didn't know what to do and is going further, and he met Buddha, who is the son of Chandra. What happened was, Brihaspati, the guru, he had a his wife was Tara. Tara somehow, she loved Chandra and she got a son. But she never told the from the point of the world, Brihaspati was the father, because Tara was Brihaspati's wife. And Brihaspati was fascinated with that child. So he asked the wife, "Tell us, you went away and lived with Chandra for some time. Is it Chandra's or is it my child?" She refused to tell. At last, Brahmaji takes her aside and says, "For heaven's sake, please tell." She says, "Yes, he is the son of Chandra only." So his name was Buddha. Then Buddha sees this Pradyumna who has become a lady. He wants to marry her, he marries her. And then then in his vamshan, his son is born. His name was Sharyati. Sharyati was a king. Once along with all his people from his town and his entire force, entire army, he went into the jungle just for a picnic. He went with his entire family. He had a beautiful daughter called Sukanya. This child Sukanya, along with her friends, she was going round. And that one place she saw a big nest of white ant, just like that, so big. You will find a lot in Karnataka, especially there. They will not destroy it. If you have to build a house, they will build a house around it. They will never destroy a single, because they worship it. Even now you will find someday they take milk and all that, go there to such things which are there in the road. They will do puja. This is what is being done. They come, perhaps as Adishesha or something like that. So she saw, but she saw there were two holes, and the holes were glimmering. There's light in them. So just how inside it can be glimmering. So she took a big wire which was lying there, and she just probed inside the boat. A lot of blood used to come. She was afraid. She ran back. She never told anything. Actually, inside there was a Chavana, a great rishi who was doing tapasya. Over his body the white hands have welded. He was not even aware. So she actually blinded the eyes of the rishi. His both eyes became blind. Now, as a result, the king was not aware. All the people, from the king to all the people, their bubbles stopped and they got a lot of pain. A lot of stomach pain which they couldn't bear. The king said, somebody has done a big mistake. Come on, find out. Own, who is there? Then slowly she got up. I don't know whether I did a mistake, it was there. I just did like this, some blood flow. She said, come on, tell me where it is. Then he went and then he took away all that white hand nest. Then inside they found a brilliant king, a brilliant Maharshi, an old Maharshi. He was there and blood was flowing from both the eyes. Both the eyes had become blind. Then he did namaskar to him. He said, please save us all. Let us all have no stomach ache. Because my daughter has done it, has happened like that. It is okay for you to say I am sorry. But now I am blind. What can I do? I have to do my puja. Daily I have to go to the talab. Then I have to go to the water tank. I have to, in the river or somewhere, I have to have my bath. But I can't see anything. So how will I live? The king said, I will marry off my daughter to you. She will be your eyes. She will look after you. Straight away. That's all. So he gave Sukanya in marriage to Chavana. And the king went away, and Sukanya, though a princess, she was faithfully serving her husband. Once it so happened, the Ashwini Devatas, they are two brothers, twins. They are the doctors for all the kings, or all the gods. Even though they are doctors, the kings never recognized their status. They said, you are all inferior. So, whenever in any sacrifice, the oblations are given for us by name, you will not be there. It will not be given to you. So, you cannot take it from people. So, they always felt inferior. They are the doctors for all the gods, but they were not allowed to participate in the oblations which are given. When they came to this Chavan Maharshi, they asked him, Maharshi, can we do anything for you? He said, I am blind. Can you make me okay? Yes, we'll make you okay, we'll make you young. Both. But you will have to help us. What do you want? They are not making us participate in the fire sacrifices. So we should get our part of the oblations. A portion should be set apart for us also. We should also take along with that. Okay, it will be done. Then they said, look here, there is a river here. You go and take your bath and come. When he went to take bath, both the Ashwini Devatas also went and took bath. And there are three beautiful Chavanas. All of them are like the other one. So nobody can say who are the Ashwini Devatas and who is the other one. Three are alive. All young. And all lives restored. They call Sukanya. Come on. You find out who is your husband. Then you will get him. She couldn't find out. She immediately prayed to the Ashwini Devatas. Lord, I am an ordinary woman. How do you expect me all these things? Without your grace, without your help, I can't. So please, you point out to me which one of you is the real Chavana. They are very happy. So they gave her back Chavana. And they went away. And as he told, he held the fire sacrifice where he gave oblations for the Ashwini Devatas. Indra was angry. He came, he took his Vajrayudha, this Vajra weapon, thunder, the weapon of thunder, to smite the Maharshi. The Maharshi, by his mantra, stopped him. His hands were paralyzed. He couldn't bring them down. Then Brahma and others came. They had a compromise. Yes, they'll be given. They can participate in future, but please release Indra from his paralysis. Well, he became okay. Thus, this is the story. Then there's a small story. It's a nice story to show how time is relative. There's a king called Kakudmi. He had a beautiful daughter called Revati. Because she was so beautiful, all the kings around, all the princes around, they had all filed their applications saying, we want to marry. And he's a small king. If he gives it to one, all the others will join together and smash him. So what to do now? So he thought, let me go to Brahma the creator and ask him what is written and who is the chap to whom he is to marry. Because we say all these are written in the forehead by Brahma. So let me go and ask him. He takes Revati also, because of his yogic powers, he takes his daughter and he himself goes to the Brahma Loka. The Brahma, he was in the midst of a dance concert. He was looking at him. He said, just 1 minute. So the dance performance ended in that 1 minute. Then he asked the king, yes. The king showed him the list of all the kings. Please tell me, which one of them is to marry my daughter? He laughed. In this 1 minute, 20 lakh years have gone in the earth. So neither your kingdom exists, nor these kings exist. Nobody knows their name even. Their entire race has become extinct and new races have come up. So what are you going to do? He began to weep. Oh my Lord, my daughter is several thousands of years old. Now we will marry her. Then Brahmaji says, look here. This is now Dwapara Yuga. Balarama, he is the Lord. Adishesha himself. It is the Lord himself who has taken that form. Same Lord, he has become Balarama as well as Krishna. So you go and give your daughter in marriage to Balaram. So Balaram's wife's name was Revati. So Revati was given to him in marriage. So, and tomorrow we are going to tell the story of a great devotee of the Lord. He is called Ambarisha. He was a king, but 100% devoted to the Lord. you must not bother about the external world. So we are going to see his story. His father was called Nabhag. Why he was called Nabhag? Nabhag, jiska bhag nahi, the one who has got no share. It so happened, this Nabhaga has gone, we don't know his earlier name. She had gone to his Gurukula and that he was learning. When he came back to the house, his brother said, "Hey, father has given to us, so we have shared all the existing assets between us. And your share is kept outside the door. It is sitting there, you go and take it." When he went there, he found his old father. He said, "I am your share. They have taken away all the assets. You can't do anything with them. So come on, you take me, I can't walk." So he took him on his back and he was going. Now what to do? How to live? Then his father told him, "Look here. Tomorrow you leave me here and you go to a particular place. There some great Mahatmas, they are doing a fire sacrifice for going to Swarga, to the heavens. While doing that, they will forget two portions of the mantras. Two mantras or two suktas that they are called, they are going to forget. They will not remember. Then they will be in a very bad situation. They can't finish the fire sacrifice. They won't get Swarga. You remind them of these two suktas. These are the two suktas." He told him and sent him there. So he went there, and as he rightly told, they suddenly forgot those two suktas. Then he told them, "Don't worry, these are the two suktas." They are very grateful to him, and their vimana, the aerial vehicle, came from the heavens. While they were getting into it, you see, for the such a big sacrifice, that huge quantities they had brought, huge quantities of rice, huge quantities of gehum or wheat and sugar, so many things were lying. And in gratitude, while getting into the vehicle, they said, "Hey, Nabhag, all this which you have left, they're all yours. You can take it and go." He was very happy. So when he was trying to collect them all, there was a tall person with chatta, with vibhuti, with trishul in his hand, but he was black. He said, "Hey, look here. All these belong to me as per a contract entered into by all the gods long ago in the presence of Brahma. It is a contractual possession for me. If you do not know, you go and ask your father and come, I am here." He went and asked his father. Father suddenly said, "Yes." When Dakshayagya was done, when Daksha's head was all taken away, because Shiva was not given a portion of the oblations, finally it was decided that in future, because already they have arranged the tables, everybody's name is there, so there is no place for Shiva. But then they said, whatever is left unused in that fire sacrifice, they will all belong to Shiva. So they are called Rudra Bhaga. So he is the emissary of Lord Shiva, so it does belong to him, so he is entitled to it. So he went back and told him, "Yes, my father has confirmed, they belong to you. Thank you very much, I am going." He was so happy. "You told the truth, come on, you take them out." So thus he became a big king, and his son Amarisha also became a king, highly devoted. He was highly devoted to the Lord. There's a description how he was doing and how he was observing the Ekadashi Upavas. We also do on Ekadashi day. We don't eat except kutuka halwa and some nice things and kutuka puri. All these things only we take, nothing else. What is my Ekadashi Upavas? It doesn't mean that you don't eat anything. Ekadashi means our 11 indriyas. The 5 karmendriyas, the 5 jnanendriyas and mind. Manashattani indriyani pagatisthani karshati. It comes in Bhagavad Gita. It is the 6th sense among jnana. So, among the sense of perception, it is called the 6th. So, 6 plus 5, 11. So, Ekadashi means 11. Upavas. Upa means samipe, near the Lord. Vasa, we know, vasa means to live. So, upavasa means to live near God. All these 11 indriyas will be made to live only near Lord. The eyes will see only the Bhagavan's statues. They will not see anything else. They will not see TV. They will not see the computer, the network. They will see only God. And the ears will hear only songs about the Lord, kirtans, bhajans, and not anything else outside, not other stories. The hand will do only God's work. It will take all the flowers and then make it into garland, and it will be sweeping the floor. Thus it will be doing Lord's work. That day you will not go anywhere except to the Lord's places, like either your own puja room or to the temples. You will not go anywhere. Thus, to put all the 11 indriyas to live on the entire day with the Lord, that is called Ekadashi Upavas. But it has come to Kutu Halwa. So with this we stop today, and Amariksha Charitra we will see. So this is the 9th Skanda. Om Satya Prajapya Paripalyantam Jnanyenama Dhenamahi Mahisha Gobrahmane Vyasabhavsarityam Loka Samastha Sukhinama Bhavantu Kale Vrshad Parjanya Prativesarani Desha Vajjim Chobarega Brahmana Sundari Bhaya Sarve Bhavantu Sukhina Sarve Santa Niramaya Sarve Bhadrani Vashyantu Ma Kaschid Dukavad Bhavetim Kayena vacha manasa indriyadva buddhyatmana vapakade svabha karo yadya sakalam parasmai narayana yiri samarpayami narayana 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 narayana.